The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, how you doing out there? Hope you all are having a great day. And by God's grace, we'll be having some more callers come in. We usually get them towards the end of the show, so if you've got time now, why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. I want to give you just a reminder that we're going to Israel next year, and if you want to check it out, carmisrael.com, and you can go. People are signing up. It's going to be really good. And for those of you who have already signed up, we want to just say thanks. Appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to meeting all the people from all over who probably didn't hear me on the radio, and then we'll get together, and it's been great. I'm looking forward to it. So my wife's going to be going, Lord willing, her health if it holds up, and Carm board of directors are going, and other people are going, and it's going to be fun. So hopefully you will too. All right. So there you go. All right. Four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Guess what I started researching today? I started researching for the social justice area, the statistics on gun violence and racial, racial percentages. That's what I'm looking for. Racial percentages of, black cops killing white people, killing black cops, vice versa. And it's going to take a while to read through a lot of the documents and go through stuff. But if you have, some sources that document stuff that I can use as primary sources, I would love to hear it. You can check them out. Or you can just email me at info@carm.org. I'm going through the FBI, and I'm going to be going through some other areas, just checking it out and seeing what they say. See what the real statistics are, because as you guys who've been listening to me for a while know, I don't trust the leftist media, the mainstream media. I don't trust them. And I haven't trusted them for about 25 years. My wife went to an anti-abortion rally in San Diego once and was peacefully with a bunch of people, Christians, praying on a lawn. And the pro-aborts were yelling and screaming vile things for like 2 hours, and the news media was there and the cameras were off. And then finally a Christian got up and yelled back at him, and they put the cameras on that guy. And then that night's news, the headline was "Christian almost causes a riot" or something like that at the anti-abortion thing. The lies, the absolute lies that the media was promoting, and it hasn't stopped there. They do all kinds of stuff. I don't trust them. I do not trust them. I just don't. I'm sorry, I don't. With Maxine Waters saying, get more confrontational and all this stuff. And what do the Dems do? They don't do anything. They don't censor her. They don't call for her resignation. No, but if Trump says peacefully go to the Capitol, then that's insurrection, and they try and impeach him. So the hypocrisy is bad. I want statistics on really what's happening because of the George Floyd incident and all other stuff, which I don't have a comment on because I don't know the facts. I did see the video. It doesn't look good, that's for sure. But I'm a researcher, and I'm going to just be doing that for a little bit. If you've got information and some sources, so just email them to me, the links and things like that, this page or that, wherever it is, at info@carm.org. Let's get to Jason from Iowa. Jason, welcome. You are on the air.
Hi, Matt. How's it going?
It's going, man. It's going. What do you got?
Good. Nothing. No, well, not too much. I do have a couple, since you brought that up, the George Floyd, I have a thought on that. I did send you a couple. We talked to a couple weeks back. I don't know if you remember. My wife's a nurse. Talked about COVID.
Right.
I sent a couple videos. Did you get the videos? I didn't send with any. I just sent the links on YouTube or whatever because I found them. And actually,
Wait. Okay. You asked me a question, and I'm trying to get into to answer that. You said, did I see them or something? The answer there is,
did you get the videos? I emailed them.
Okay. I haven't seen them. And we have so many emails and stuff, I just forget.
Sure.
If people don't do it right away, and I go look after the show. I generally kind of miss stuff. But
sure.
But you can send them again.
Sure. No, I'll just go find them in my sent folder, and I'll send them again. Okay. I'll actually include like a message or details this time. I just sent the link last time.
Yeah,
so
to Matt
that's
Slick.
Probably yeah. Why you didn't.
Yeah, to Matt Slick, subject, to Matt Slick regarding COVID videos. And then the emailers
gotcha.
Will know it's for me. Okay?
Gotcha. Yeah, they probably just thought it was junk mail.
you get a lot of that.
So, and so then one of your callers later talked about it actually helped me out. It was the doctor that was referencing the viral epitomes and stuff like that. So it goes into a lot of detail. It's really cool for that. But it's interesting. You said something about the George Floyd, and I had an observation that I thought was intriguing. Uh-huh. You know, a lot of the rally cries for the marches and the protests and everything was no justice, no peace.
Right.
Immediately following and leading up to the trial.
Right.
Well, so we've had a trial. We've had a conviction. There's justice rendered. Yet they rioted and protested mm-hmm. in the streets and caused more damage, mm-hmm. and there was no peace.
That's right.
How does that make any sense in any world ever?
It doesn't, and they need to be suppressed. They're rioters. They need to be dealt with according to the law. They need to get the police and or National Guard out there to stop it. They're destroying businesses, mm-hmm. and the population does not mm-hmm. want them to do this. They're not interested in justice. They're interested in mayhem. This is anarchy, and this is some of the things the far-left agenda wants in order to undermine our country and to cause it to fall. They want more power.
Sure.
And here's the problem. When a group of people is violent and gets what it wants, because of that violence, it emboldens them to become more violent. And this is what's happening.
Absolutely.
So this, you know, it's real simple. The writing's on the wall. The leftist wacko moron governors who allow this kind of atrocity to occur in the rioting, they need to be impeached. They need to be voted out. We need to get some people in there who have some guts. I'm going to strongly recommend that if any of you can, Candace Owens, she is incredible. She is just marvelous.
Yep, love her.
Oh, yeah. I said to my wife last night, we were watching Tucker Carlson last night, and she went on, and I was like, I couldn't believe how great
brilliant.
She was.
She's very
brilliant.
And she's
right.
the best thing about her, she says she's independent. She's independent. She's not Democrat. She's not Republican.
Right.
But looking at the leftist Democrat organism that it's become today, mm-hmm. she goes, I want no part of it. And, you know, I mean, it's
right.
really interesting. So I've watched several of
She's
her videos
brilliant.
For a while. But
yeah, I recommend
anyway,
people.
I don't know if you have other calls.
Yeah, we do.
But you asked to call in, so I just decided to call in. So
okay, good. Thank you. Okay, appreciate it.
So,
all right, man.
That's my thoughts. So, all right, God bless. We'll talk to you later.
You too. Thanks. Yeah, I do recommend people watch Tucker Carlson and Hannity, watch a little CNN, MSNBC, get both sides of things, and see the incredible difference of presentation. But Candace Owens, wow, she is fantastic, and we need more people like her. Candace Owens for president, you know, that kind of thing. She is great. She really said it like it was last night. Folks, this is a Christian apologetics show. We talk about all things, and we have to understand, or you must understand, that all areas of life fall under the purview of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This means politics as well. And I'm not a politician. I don't know it very well. I am learning about it. I've been studying it and writing about it. And it's just one of the things that's necessary because of our environment. As our political system becomes more anarchistic and becomes more secular, it will start to move against even more the Christians. And if the left is emboldened in their hypocrisy, in their unconstitutional behavior, and no one stops them, they will continue to behave in a manner that it will end up in the destruction of our country. And so my word is to pray for this country and pray for their salvation. But if God chooses not to save them, to pray for their removal out of their office. And there are things that we can do, and I'm putting together some more information about contacting senators and congressmen and things like that. And my wife sent me some information. I'm going to be including that in there. This is unfortunately something that's necessary. And the greasy wheel, I mean, it's going to be the squeaky wheel gets greased, and this is an important topic. And we need to be informed as Christians. And this idea of separation of church and state is not biblical. And what I mean by that is the state does not have the right to establish a religion, a national state religion. That's what separation of church and state meant. It does not mean that the Christians don't have the right to occupy offices and to act in a manner consistent with biblical truth. That means things like not lying, not taking bribes, not stealing. It means using their power and their position for the glory of God by taking and equipping people for the best that they can have in their lives, passing laws that are in concert with that effort and that goal. We don't have that now. We have people in government who are self-interested. A lot of them are self-interested. There's some good people in there too, of course, but they're self-interested. They, in my opinion, they have cult-like tendencies. They can't think straight, and they're horrible. I would even do a national debate against one of them. I would, and I'm wholly unqualified, but I would prep up. I think I'd hold my own with them, with any of them. Pick a topic. Let's go. I don't think that they have all their paws in the litter box, and I think we Christians need to be praying, we need to be studying, and we need to be voiceful. We need to voice our opinions, we need to vote, and we need to be heard. And I'll tell you something. Let me tell you something. I live in Idaho, and BLM, Burn, Loot, Murder group, tried to come in twice, and Idahoans turned out and outnumbered them by the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, and was yelling out periodically, "Not in our state, get out." And they got shut down, and they left. And there were hundreds and hundreds of people that were there, and they were carrying open carry weapons. Open carrying weapons. I felt safe. Everybody was there. The police were there, the whole bit. Now, I'm not saying, you know, guns are a solution. What I'm saying is, there was a unity of voice, and people stood up, and they said, no, it's not happening here. And the BLM protesters were way outnumbered, and they didn't do what they had said they were going to come here and do, which has caused problems. So, you know, we need to stand up. You either sit down and get out of the way or stand up, and we need to be praying. First of all, we need to be asking God for revival in this country. We need to ask God to give the pastors the unction to start preaching and teaching the things that need to be preached and taught about what truth is and the foundation of truth. We need to have the truth of God's word in our hearts and our minds, and we need to understand that Christ is Lord of all areas, including the political realm, and that he needs to be Lord over that. Doesn't mean we force it on people, but it does mean we need to pay attention, and we need to not listen to the leftist wacko moron news media out there that shades everything. In fact, I don't know how many of you heard that CNN, I don't know what his reporter or some official, who said that they actually worked specifically to get Trump out and that they manufactured stuff. This is bad news. You can't trust the media. You can't trust it. In Nazi Germany, which is a socialist, Nazism is a socialist movement. It was socialistic. Nazism was socialist. The propaganda machine gained control of the media, and when they got control of the media, then they got control of what anybody thought and what anyone believed, and they could then push the people towards whatever it is they wanted. Now think about it. Why are we all following, not all, I'm not, following this leftist media agenda towards socialism, towards all this idiocy that's going on, and the good people are doing nothing? You got to stand up, folks. That's right. Say it like it needs to be said. Four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. Welcome back, I should say. If you want to give me a call, two open lines, 877-207-2276. Paul from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Welcome, you're on the air.
How's it going, Matt? Just to reiterate a little bit, I also like Candace Owens. Mm-hmm. Ami Forrest, Horowitz is good, and so has Ben Shapiro. And
oh, yeah.
What you said after that caller in the Army, we would say lead, follow, or get out of the way, and that's exactly mm-hmm. what people in politics need to do.
Yep.
I call them representatives because they're not leaders, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, most of them are anti-American.
My question I have, my kids are in the car with me sometimes when I'm listening to you, and they've heard you talk about how the Catholic Church is a cult, and I agree with you 100% on that. If they hold a lot of the documentation from the early days of Christ's ministry and everything, how are new versions of the Bible coming out as far as reading of the Greek and everything and translations, if they're only allowing certain people in to see some of those documents and not letting them see all the documents?
No, the documents are not just held by them. They are discovering new documents pretty regularly, the manuscripts and things like that. They're all over the place, and the Catholic Church doesn't have control over them. So they can't alter the Bible, and they can't do anything like that. Are your kids in the car with you now?
No, not right now. I work
okay.
in a different city, and I'm driving home right now, but the other 3 days of the week, yeah, they're listening.
Oh, because I would say their names over the air, they would have got a kick out of that. That would have been fun. Yeah, I've done that. Once I met a father in a store who recognized my voice, and we got talking, and he told me how the kids loved my show, and I said, well, what time do you pick them up, and all this stuff, and so he gave me the names. I remembered the names, and on that following day, I told their names over the air, and then he wrote me, said they were absolutely just tickled pink. They loved it so much. Anyway, no big deal, but... Okay, so yeah, the Catholic archives. Yeah, they have a lot of stuff in the Catholic archives and stuff. They're a very rich religion that's apostate and false, but they can't control the documents, which is why we know the Roman Catholic Church is false, because we can actually go to the Hebrew and the Greek and check things.
So the original King James Version Bible that would come from other documents and stuff like that, they would translate?
Well, see, here's how it works is, for example, the Gospel of John was written, let's just say, 60 A.D., let's just say, pick a day, a year. And then let's say two or three copies were made in the next 5 years, let's just say three copies, because there were people whose job it was to make copies, and copying was a profession.
Right.
So let's say there's three copies. Now you have three plus the original one. That's four. And those three go in different directions. One north, one east, or excuse me, one west, and one way west. So now those copies get copied very, very meticulously. So they fanned out like this, and sometimes people would put the copies, they would store them in jars because of moisture and travel and things like this, and they would bury them sometimes, or they would just get lost, or the monasteries would start keeping them, and they're all over the Mediterranean area, and so they're uncovered at different places,
yeah,
and there's just no way.
The
Catholic Church can't control them, which is a really good thing. Really good thing. It's how we know that the Catholic Church is false, by comparing it with Scripture. Okay?
All right, I appreciate it.
All right, man. God bless, buddy. Okay. Hey, folks, you want to give me a call? Four open lines, 877-207-2276. We have four open lines. Give me a call. I have to put in my notes. There we go. All right. Let's get to Rusha from Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going. How are you?
Okay. Well, the weather's beautiful out here, so I can't really complain.
Oh, beautiful here, too. Yeah. So what do you got?
I love the political ventures of yours as much as mm-hmm. the next gal. And I'd like to first start off by saying I realize that the Democrats in the Bible Belt are a little different animal than, say, the Democrats out in, New England. Yeah, would
really?
That be a fair assessment?
I don't know. I don't know. I know I the leftist say. Media, and all I can see is what the media portrays, what the media does, and how the leftists are the ones rioting, and you know, the Dems voted Biden in, and these wackos. So.
That's one thing where it's like, we actually had very few like issues out in the Atlanta area. I know that it was different in other parts of the country. But what I really wanted to call and ask you about is that I've been, well, personally, I've been a little disappointed with the cowardice of some of my Orthodox Presbyterian friends, because when I talk to them about, hey, listen, why do you think this is up? It turns out they don't know, like, any leftists personally. And then when I grill them a little bit further, like, okay, well, where are you going for your standard representation of the Democrats so I can at least figure out where you're coming from? Sometimes they don't even have that either. And so then I kind of like, okay, here, let me get you some access to some leftists. And they run away. And, I mean, it's like, you know, no leftist is that scary. I mean, so do you have any tips of the trade for kind of encouraging a little bit more of a dialogue between the world and what you describe as the left? Because, I mean, you know, got to get the gospel out there somehow. And if our Orthodox Presbyterians, who are usually on their feet, you know, can't get it, I mean, like, you know, what does that say for somebody like me?
So OPC, you go to an OPC church. I used to preach at preach at an OPC church in San Diego. So we call them the only perfect church. That's what OPC we would say. So, you know, and, at any rate, no big deal. But I was Presbyterian.
I attended
pastor.
Geneva College, so they had some there.
All right. Well, that's
good.
Good for you. So I'm assuming you're Reformed too. That sounds like you would be. Kind
of? Depends on how you defer. It depends on the definition of limited atonement, because I've heard some pretty, you know, doozy definitions of it, usually from my Arminian friends, but, you know.
Well, I can tell you what it is.
I have no problems with the sovereignty of God, no.
Okay. But I've been defending it, stuff like that for 30 years, so I know it. But anyway, so, you know, how to talk to people like that. You talk by asking questions.
Yes,
you get them to engage by asking very careful questions. And one of the things that I've learned over the years, because I have Asperger's, it's an autism spectrum disorder, and we Aspies don't get social cues very well. And so what I did, I didn't know others didn't do this until I got diagnosed, but I would watch body language, and I became very, very good at it. And so when I'm talking to someone, I'm studying how fast they blink. I pay attention to how they turn their head. I watch their feet. I watch how they move their hips. If they glance away more than once or twice within a short period of time, I actually pay attention to that. And just how I compensate it, and it works fine. Well, it turns out that if you're talking to somebody, they can very often show signs of disinterest. And if you pay attention to those while you're talking, you'll know when to not talk about a certain topic, but change a direction. And that's one of the things I would do. So pay attention to how they are, ask questions, and see how far you can go. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, Rusha.
That's right.
All right, God bless. All right. Hey, folks, three open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Three open lines if you want to jump in. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Chris from Kentucky. Hey, Chris, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. So
hey,
what you got?
I'm a first-time caller.
Sure.
I'm a first-time caller. I've been listening to you all the time. You got a great show. I got a question. It's about, I'm taking a worldview class, and it's about pantheism. And it says the beliefs about the nature of knowledge. I know what the pantheism means. I just want to know maybe how they gain knowledge, where they get their knowledge from, since everything is pretty much God in their view. So I don't know.
Well,
how would you put
some
that?
Issues. there's some issues. You know, to talk about epistemology and justification of knowledge and what knowledge is. From a Christian perspective, knowledge is that which conforms to the mind of God. Since God, who knows all things, has absolute knowledge and truth of all things, whatever he reveals, therefore, can be considered true knowledge. What we consider knowledge may not be knowledge. So we have to have the idea within knowledge and the aspects of knowledge. We have to be able to be aware of something and believe something. And belief does not necessitate knowledge, because we can believe in something that's false. So in a pantheistic world, there's some issues to answer before tackling further. In pantheism, God and the universe are one and the same thing. Now, this is really problematic, because it would imply that God is not personal. And if he's not personal, there is no knowledge that can come from an impersonal being. If they were to say that that God somehow is personal, then how can the essence of his personhood be material? Because the physical universe is material. And so if God is material, then how do you get knowledge out of an arrangement of electrons? And so there's problems there. And then if they hold to what's called materialism, some pantheists do, but the universe is all there is, and that the universe and God are one and the same, and he operates, or it operates, under the laws of physics, well, then that reduces down to absurdity. Because it would mean that the physical brain is restricted to the laws of chemistry, neurochemical reactions, and those are necessitated by chemistry. And so, therefore, you can't trust knowledge out of necessary chemical reactions. It's just like balls hitting, you know, billiard balls hitting on a table. Necessary reactions doesn't produce knowledge. So there's different ways that this can be tackled. Okay. Yeah. If I've answered anything or caused more problems, but go ahead.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if they get knowledge, it sounds like, since everything is pretty much God that's living, I guess, they couldn't get knowledge from a tree or dirt or the earth or nature itself.
Well, there's a difference.
It has to be from themselves.
There's a difference between getting knowledge from a tree versus getting knowledge about a tree. Is the tree the source of your knowledge? And then again, what is knowledge? Knowledge occurs in the mind.
Yeah.
And so the ontological essence of knowledge is a conceptualization. It's an abstraction.
So I guess it would be up to each individual pantheist?
Yeah. What you always do is ask questions about the particular view that a person might have within a certain theological or secular perspective. You narrow it down, and then you find the errors and the potential problems in that perspective. Every single perspective that's not based in a Christian Trinitarian worldview is ultimately self-refuting. And another problem with pantheism is that the universe came into existence. It is not infinitely old, and there's ways to demonstrate that. Well, that would mean God came into existence. That would mean that something brought God into existence. That would mean that whatever brought the pantheistic God into existence was greater than that God. So how is he the true God? There all kinds of problems with pantheism, and you know, I could go
through.
Pretty
complex, sounds like.
Yeah, it's an epistemological issue. What's the nature of knowledge? Knowledge is that which conforms to the mind of God, and knowledge is an abstraction. An abstraction occurs in the mind. So, you know, I have knowledge, for example, that in my right hand I'm holding a little coffee cup, and I am. You can't see it unless you're watching me, but it's knowledge, and it conforms to actuality. Now, this is called the correspondence theory of knowledge, that knowledge is a statement or proposition that corresponds with actuality and or logic. And then we get into the grounding issue of such statements and propositions. It gets complicated, but pantheism is...
I was taking a worldview class. That's why I was trying to figure out some more about it.
Okay. Hope I didn't give you too much and overwhelm you. But always ask more questions about what the particulars of that worldview are, and then you go and tackle it.
Yeah, that's clear as mud. Yeah, no problem.
Okay. I don't know if that helps or not.
All right, that's good then. Yeah, it does. I appreciate it.
Okay.
That's all I got. I appreciate it. Thank you. God bless
sure,
you.
Sure, man. Sure, no problem. All right. God all bless.
Right.
All right. That was Chris from Kentucky. We have 4 open lines. If anybody wants to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to Rachel from Utah. Hey, Rachel. Welcome. You're on the air.
Thanks, Matt, for taking my call. I really appreciate it. Yeah, the question I have is I have several girlfriends who are amazing, and they have decided to study Mary Magdalene. Mm-hmm. And apparently there's records regarding Mary Magdalene. I don't know about them, and they're in a group and whatnot. And they've come to me, and they've asked me, and they said, well, we're not sure that the Bible's true anymore because Mary Magdalene has these records. It's not included in the Bible and her place in it. And so I just don't know. I don't know how to address them. They're kind of doubting the truth of the validity of the Bible, and I just don't know exactly how to.
Do I have to drive down there?
How to address their concerns?
Do I have to drive down there and talk to them? Have a big meeting, and we talk to them, and I set them straight.
You should join their meeting.
I would come down there. I have some friends. I'm looking for an excuse to get down there. I would come down there. It's only a 5-hour drive from Boise, if you're in the Salt Lake area.
Perfect. Come on down.
And if they would meet, I would seriously entertain the idea of coming down and having a discussion. They could fire questions and stuff like that and just do that kind of a thing. But
that'd be awesome.
I would. I'm serious. You know, like, it's, you know, it's not a problem.
Oh, they're brilliant women. They're very smart and very spiritual, but they're just, I think they get a little confused. No, absolutely. And we'd feed you. We'd offer it. It'd be great. Have you come down. It'd be great.
You make me sandwiches?
But until then, oh, beyond. Lasagna. Come on.
I'm just asking for trouble.
Burritos. Yeah.
How many of them are there? Just curious.
Well, it's a growing group of women. So it started as 2, then 5, then 10, then 12, and There's a good 15 of them now, and it just grows because, you know, these are kind of self-empowered women, and they're all very successful, and they're very spiritual, and they all love God. And I think,
some
of them are former Mormons. Some of them are still Mormons. Some of them were never Mormons. But they're seeking deeper truth and trying to understand their role as women and what Mary's role was, and trying to find an identity, perhaps, to align with. And
needs to be in Christ.
And they found some records. What's that?
Their identity needs to be in Jesus, not in some woman of the Bible. That's what
for sure. Oh, I for sure. But, yeah, but I'm just. I love these girls, and I don't know how to respond to them. What's that?
I tell you what, I'm serious. I have friends down in Salt Lake City and Sandy, Utah area, and I got some other people I got to meet. We've been talking about going down there. I'd be willing to go down there if they would be interested also in, you know, meeting at someone's house. And we just talk for 3, 4, 5 hours, and I just
that'd be great.
And I'd do that.
Yeah.
So
one of my friends even has a teepee. You could even come in that.
A teepee. That would be, that sounds really something. Yeah. You tell you what, you can always contact me at info@carm.org about that, I'd be willing to come.
What's the info again? Info at what?
At carm.org, I-N-F-O. Yeah, I was just thinking about coming down to Salt Lake and seeing Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson and Laura Anderson and Luke Wayne and some others down there. Stuff.
So, okay, yeah.
All right, so about the Mary Magdalene thing, usually what happens is people will latch on for some reason to something extra-biblical. They want something that they can submit to themselves, not themselves to it. What I mean is a lot of times what people want, males and females, they read the Bible, they don't like what it says in some areas, they think it's insufficient in some areas because they haven't studied it. And so they find something else that's sensationalistic, and they are attracted to it, and therefore it becomes a standard of truth. And so then the Word of God itself is maligned and doubted. And so what I would do, you know, if I were you, is I ask them, where's the documentation about this stuff with Mary Magdalene? And how do you know it's accurate? Mm-hmm. These are fair.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of what's called pseudo-apocryphal documents that were written after the fact and that were trying to lead people astray. So hold on. We got a break, okay?
Okay. Hey, I appreciate that. Oh, hold on. Okay, please. Thank you.
Yeah, hold on. Okay. Sure. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these wonderful messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live. Taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Before we get on the call, I just want to give you a reminder. We're going to Israel next year, and at the end of the month, the $100 discount ends. So if you're interested in checking out the Israel trip, just go to CarmIsrael.com, CARMIsrael.com, and you can check it out. Let's get back to Rachel in Utah. Hey, Rachel. All right. So, I don't know if I answered your question or not, but I do have a question for you. I want that documentation or where they got this other information that they're looking at. I'd love to see that.
Right. I just think, yeah, I think it's circulating. I haven't seen it even. It's just like someone showed it to me, like you said. I think people get excited, like you said. It's surplus or supplemental and...
Yeah.
See if I can get it. Okay.
And get it and send it to me at info@carm.org. Put for Matt per radio request information.
Perfect.
Mary Magdalene, and I'll remember. And then I could go check it out and check out the source writing and see if it's pseudepigraphal or if it's bad. Because if the documentation demonstrates that it's not reliable, then, you know, it shouldn't be trusted at all. But Mary Magdalene was a great woman, and she's, I think, the first one who saw the risen Lord. She figured it out before the guys did. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. They were hiding and she was out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good for her. So anyway, what else you got? You got any other question or was that it or what?
No, I think that's what I was going to maybe, if you had a minute, just follow up. I listened to that last call. If you had a minute, I was going to ask something about that. I thought it was fascinating, but you called.
Okay.
But just one more minute. I was just going to ask one more
question. We got a bunch of callers waiting.
So just really quick. So I have a lot of people that I talk to. I was just interested in what you were saying, who talk about God in the universe. How do you, you know, clearly it's
God
different.
In the universe?
Clearly God is God in the universe's universe.
Wait, I don't understand.
Oh, please.
God is the universe or God of or God
no,
in?
How do you, I have a lot of people who talk to me who talk about the universe, they talk about God, and they ask how do you explain, I heard what you said, it was so thorough about the last caller, and I don't know if I'm formulating my question very well.
Oh, the issue, how to explain issues about God's relationship.
Right. My simple question is people talk about the universe a lot, and they say, the universe did this, God did this. How do you explain to them that, like, God created the universe, God follows the laws of the universe? Like,
I'll tell you what.
How do you explain to someone simply
God doesn't follow the laws
and the universe?
This is, it's not something I can answer in a couple of minutes. This is
perfect.
Like an
hour. Another time.
It's an hour discussion. for real. It really is. Because it gets into things like necessary and sufficient conditions for an action to occur, and all events relate to a cause. And then we get into the issue of logical necessity, preconditions, an actual infinity versus a potential infinity. And these are all things I have to teach. And then I start saying, this is why that can't work. This is why this can't work. And then we go in and it's I have to lay the foundation, because these questions are good questions, but the answers take time to build a foundation so that people understand what the questions are. I did it last week in our Bible study I teach here at my house. And I went through what's called the Kalam cosmological argument, and I went step by step by step. It took 10 minutes for me to get through it. And they went, whoa, that was good. Didn't understand that before. Now we do. That's what I'm saying. These things are not easy. Okay? So.
Oh, I really appreciate that.
All right.
We'll get something going here, get you an invite, and get that documentation, and really appreciate your show.
Oh, good. God bless. All right, thanks.
Okay. Thanks. Okay, you too. Okay, bye.
All right. Bye. All right, let's get on the air with Merle from Florida. Merle, welcome. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I was on your panel last night with the after show. I've read your article now on eternal security.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to ask a lot of questions about that. I debated someone who's, I think, a different perspective than you. They're like what would be called a free grace person, not a Calvinist.
Okay, so
I'm
your
guessing you guys take it from the... Well, you did. I wrote it down. Let me hold on. Okay. You were using, the verses where, what do you mean by Jesus raising them, or, you know, about him raising him up on the last day? What is your definition of that?
I don't understand. Jesus raising him up on the last day, what's my definition of a dead? I don't understand the question, sorry.
Well, okay, here's my question. Because when I look at Hebrews 9:27, we're going to go to the judgment, from what I can discern, immediately. Like Faust to drop dead right now. But then, too, you've got John 5:29.
Well, okay, what's your question, though? Because I don't see where this is. I don't understand how to relate them yet. So what's your question?
Well, okay. This almost looks like it's a dreamless sleep, like what the Seventh-day Adventists would believe when I look at John 5:29 and compare and refer to Daniel 12, verse 2.
Okay, what's your question?
What is your stance on that, I guess,
I meant to ask. I don't understand. On what?
That he'll raise them up on the last day.
That he's going to raise them up on the last day. That's my stance. That's what it says. That he's going to raise them up on the last day.
Is that right away after you die?
When is the resurrection?
Yeah.
Okay. So when is the bodily resurrection? That's a good question. It looks like it'll occur right around the same time as the judgment. So people are, when they're raptured, whatever view you hold to, they'll go to heaven in that disembodied state. And they'll wait. And then there's a resurrection where they're reunited with the bodies. And that's something that happens in the future and probably concomitant with the end of the age. Right there, the last day.
Okay, so then there will be a difference between, like, if I was to expire right now, I would still get judged immediately, correct?
No.
Or is that what you believe?
No, you pass out of judgment. Romans 8:1, Romans 8:1, I think it is. So judgment of works is later on. Yeah. You just go be with the Lord, and then at the resurrection, and there's debate about the exact order of things. But right around the same time, the resurrection, the new heavens, new earth, a judgment occurs. Okay?
Okay, then is there any changes then from, like, if you die right now, and then because I'm post-trib, that's what I believe.
You didn't finish your question. Is there changes, what?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, do we have a change, like, you know, like it reads in 1 Corinthians 15, we change that to twinkling of an eye.
That's the rapture context. Okay. Some say that the rapture is when the resurrection occurs, and people will be raptured and resurrected at the same time. Some say 7 years before the tribulation, and some say at the end of the tribulation. Just depends on the view, but generally they're considered pretty simultaneous or concomitant. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, I'll look further into it, I guess, then. But thanks for your time, and would you be willing to discuss this 5-point tool with me sometime?
Sure.
Need to read some more into it, because I did read your statement.
Okay, we'll try this.
I need to take a quote.
If you go to Carm YouTube, Carm Videos, look up Carm Videos, and look up Tulip Week.
Okay.
And I did 5 videos on the 5 points. Okay?
You have it in your playlist then, correct?
I don't know. I got a lot there. But if you just look it up, YouTube,
look.
Matt Slick, Tulip Week, you'll find it. Okay? All right?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, man. God bless. All right, let's go to the phones with Dave from Raleigh, North Carolina. Dave, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Matt. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question, basically, I'd like you to explain or speak to the idea, I think a very common misconception about the rapture. It's funny that came up in the last discussion, but nothing to do with the time frame of tribulation, but the rapture itself. I've heard you speak to it before, you know, the scripture about, you know, two women are working in the field and one will be, you know, taken away and one will be left behind. And
yeah, that's not the rapture.
I think a lot of people have a misconception on who will be left and who will be taken. And I'd like you to speak to that.
It's the wicked who are taken in that context. It's the wicked who are taken. And all you got to do is read the context that the rapture occurs, but to verify that, you go to 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through chapter 5, verse 2. That's where the rapture is described, and it's concomitant with the return of Christ. But nevertheless, as it says, it goes like this. In Matthew 7, Luke 17 and Matthew 24. I think it's Luke 24, 37 and Matthew 17, 26 and following. It says, both of them say the same thing. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the days of the coming of the Son of Man. For they were eating, they were drinking, they were giving in marriage till the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and... Now, Luke says, destroyed them all. Matthew says, took them all away. And then both of them talk about two men in the field, one is taken, one is left. So the context of who's taken is the wicked. Period. That's it. I will debate that one. And that's so clear. So that's what that is. So that's, those verses are not about the rapture. Other verses are about the rapture. Those verses are about the wicked being taken. And in Luke 17, they ask Jesus, where are they taken? And he answers the question. He says, where the body is, the vultures gather. And if you go to Matthew 13, it says, there's this age and the age to come, and the seed is sowed, the wheat and the tares, and the tares are the evil ones, and the wheat are the children of God, the good people, the Christians. And when are they raptured, or when are they harvested, which is what they say the rapture is? Jesus says, allow both to go together till the time of the harvest, and I will say to the reapers, first gather the tares. So the first ones gathered at the time of the harvest are not the good, but the wicked. Matthew 13, 30. It's just what it says.
Very good.
Yeah. This is not opinion.
I don't disagree.
This is what it says.
I appreciate the explanation from the scripture.
Yeah. So what really bothers me a great deal about this, Matthew 24, Luke 17, two men in the field, one taken, one is left. That issue, what bothers me so much is why pastors are teaching that it's rapture, when if you just do this real simple thing, read the context. That's all you got to do. Then you find out it's the wicked who were taken. Do a little bit of study. Find a parallel passage. The wicked are the ones taken. And for years, they'll do their studies and never pick up on it. 100% of the time, I've shown this to people, 100%, over 20, 30 years, they go, you're right, it's not about the rapture. It's the wicked who were taken. Yep, that's right. And why is it the pastors can't even get that right? What are they studying?
Right.
You know, it bothers me. The rapture occurs, folks. I believe in the rapture. Those verses just aren't about the rapture. That's my point. And why are pastors not cluing in on this? That's worrisome. Okay? That's my whine.
Indeed.
That's my little whining
Indeed.
For the day, I guess you could say. All right?
No, that's good. I think you could speak to this once a week, every week on your radio program. Mm-hmm. It would help.
Well, call up once a week and ask me about it again. And oh, I can get into some more stuff. I've taught on stuff that I've told people in studies. I said, you are going to be challenged by the study I'm going to present, and you're going to help me figure it out. And I show them scriptures and verses, and every time people just go, wow, I've never seen this before. It's not taught in churches. All you got to do is stop following traditions, start studying the Word, and you find out all kinds.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy, better go. All right.
God bless your effort. Thank you.
God bless. All right. Hey, Dave from Chicago. Sorry about that, buddy. Didn't get it to you. And Gary from Utah. Yes, I have heard of Frank. I've talked to him before. Frank Turk, that is. And call back tomorrow. Let's talk about whatever that is. Hey, folks, may the Lord bless you. We'll be on here tomorrow by His grace.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.